As the weather starts to cool down, I'm really excited about everything this season brings. New opportunities, fresh goals, and yes, even the wardrobe change. I love the feeling of shifting gears as fall kicks in, whether it's in business or life. So as we all make the transition, I hope you're as excited as I am to embrace the season with a new perspective and maybe a few wardrobe upgrades from Quince. Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices, along with premium fabrics and finishes. And they partner with them directly, cutting out the cost of the middleman and passing the savings on to you. I recently picked up their Mongolian cashmere crew neck sweater and an incredible performance chino pants, and they've quickly become go-to staples for me. As someone who's constantly traveling for speaking engagements or business meetings, I need clothes that not only look great, but also feel amazing. And these pieces absolutely deliver. Upgrade your wardrobe with pieces made to last with Quince. Go to quince.com/playbook for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's Quince. quince.com/playbook to get free shipping and a 365-day returns. quince.com/playbook.
David, why don't you tell our audience a little bit about your journey and before we hop into the conversation around integrity?
Oh, well, thank you so much for having me. And my journey is one of three worlds. The first was the world of not enough, where I grew up in Akron, Ohio with a single mom, six kids, five boys and a girl, worked two jobs, as a second grade teacher, packed our dinner in a station wagon just so we could eat dinner, and then filled up turnstiles at convenience stores with greeting cards just so we could eat. So I wanted to be rich. That's the start of my journey. But I wanted to be rich for the sake of buying my mom a house and a car. And that's because my childhood was a happy one, except for financial stress. So I equated the conclusion of happiness to me was money was going to buy me what was missing in my life. And that was to take care of my mother. I worked really hard, both in athletics and in school, played college football, far beyond my skills and knowledge. I actually got to play in college and then went to law school to be rich. And I went specifically to Tulane University because they were the kings of oil and gas maritime law, and oil and gas lawyers made the most money out of law school. And in 1992, I graduated and got a job as an oil and gas litigator for $150,000 plus bonus, which in 1992, still today, probably is a lot of money out of law school. But I chose to go into the internet instead. And my mom at the time told me the internet was a fad. Justice Scalia told me that nobody would ever do research on the internet. You needed books. But I decided that I knew better than my mom and Justice Scalia. And I took a job in legal research online in 1992. And in 9 months, I was a millionaire. And I was blessed to buy my mom a house and a car. And in 1995, Thomson Reuters bought West Publishing, Westlaw, for $3.4 billion with a B in 1995. And I dubbed myself not a lawyer, although I did take the bar and pass because my mom thought the internet wasn't going to last. So I had a backup plan. I passed the bar regardless. And in 95, I went up to the Silicon Valley and learned how to raise money, became a director of a middleware company in technology. And we transcoded the internet onto flip phones, raised hundreds of millions of dollars, bit my teeth into venture capital. And by 99, I was running Samsung's data division in America, the first convergence device, cleverly named the PC-ePhone. It was a combination of a PC and a phone. Very creative of us to decide. Samsung manufactured it. Windows operating system, one of the first Windows CE device. But that led me to my sports career, ironically, and there's the lesson that I still teach today, that the reason I got hired by Lee Steinberg here in Orange County, most notable for the movie Jerry Maguire being made after our firm and where I met Warren Moon, the Hall of Fame quarterback, and I became partners with Lee. The reason he hired me was not because I was a great agent. It wasn't because I was a great CEO. It was with that type of background, I was the only one that had extensive success in technology and venture capital. And early 2000s, he saw 20 years ago, the future of sports in technology and venture, not in agentry. And so that's how I started my career in sports. And later on, Warren Moon and I spun off here in Orange County, a global sports marketing company called Sports One Marketing, which brought all the famous people to the greatest events in the world to raise money for charity. Our mission is my personal mission to make a lot of money, to help a lot of people. And because both Warren and I love sports, we have a lot of fun. And that has moved me to build a sports originally media company. Now it's a entrepreneurial media company, TV shows, movies, all types. My latest project, I'm remaking, you'll like this, the First and 10 HBO, 8 seasons on HBO with O.J. Simpson. First and 10, we're remaking that with a whole different storyline. So those are the types of project. Every project that I do has a charitable component or cause. I'm the chief chancellor of Junior Achievement University. We're celebrating this evening in Santa Monica. We got nominated for a Nobel Peace Prize for the second year in a row. I am the chairman of Unstoppable Foundation. So any charity you could think of, we will not do something without a charitable purpose or cause. Along our mission of empowering people to help one another and know people that can help one another.
Doing well by doing good.
You nailed it.
And I love the fact of your unabashed approach to making money. Some folks keep that kind of coveted and quiet and under wraps and less than right up front. But coming from where you came, I'm sure their audience is curious. Mom, is she still with us? And can you maybe illuminate a little bit about that home you bought, and does she still live in it? I'm so curious.
It's about a great journey because I left out one piece, and I'm glad you asked. And it's by buying my mom that house and a car, it confirmed something that wasn't true. I truly started to believe at 25 years old that money bought me love and happiness. And everything I did confirmed that. I married my dream girl from the fourth grade. I had my dream home in Rancho Santa Fe. I had a ski mountain and a golf course. I was running the most notable sports agency in the world. So not only could I afford anything, I was worth over $100 million. Anything that I wanted, I could afford, but I had access to what billionaires could afford to do backstage at concerts and award shows and on the sidelines of the Super Bowl and the back of the cabins with Curtis Strange and others at the Masters. I had access to everything. And in 2008, I had to walk up to my mom's house, which was the only reason I wanted to be rich, and tell my mother that I had lost everything, that I went bankrupt. I forgot to take my name off of her title. So not only did I go bankrupt, but my mom had to move. This now 16 and a half years ago is the defining moment of my life, because at that moment I realized that money does not buy love or happiness. In fact, I told my mom, "Mom, why is this happening to me? All I wanted to do was to be rich, to help other people, especially you. Why am I being punished? Mom, I don't believe in God." My mom's a religious woman, and she looked at me without blinking and said, "Oh, son, you'll be okay. You believe in God." I said, "No, I don't." She said, "Oh, you do. You just believe in the wrong God." And so I had to learn the lesson of wisdom and faith and humility. And from that day, I took stock in my values of who I wanted to become. And looking at what I had learned from my mom, things like gratitude and forgiveness and accountability and effective communication to live an inspired life and inspired others, And I am blessed to tell you that I make more money to help more people and have more fun today, 16 and a half years after I lost over $100 million and had to ask my mom to move out of her home. And my mom is here today, and she knows how much I love her and is so proud of me for the right reasons.
You know, I don't want to steal your thunder, but I can hear how your mom fused that articulation into the character that has been woven since. I think of my mom that way. I dedicated my book to her. And yes, I lost her a couple of years ago at 94, so she lived a full life. But yes, to have a mom and a parent like that, whether mom or dad or both, to fuse such a power into our lives and perspective and vision, which brings us to the perspective about integrity. And that's probably now a strong part of what goes on in your world. And so I'd like to ask you, how does integrity play a role in your everyday life, both business and personally?
It plays a crucial role because my integrity is attached to my belief, my faith in my potential, the truth. And I have shifted my paradigm utilizing integrity. You see, I used to want to be more of everything, more healthy, more happy, more wealthy, more worthy. And when I looked at my integrity, the integration of me and something bigger than me that was omniscient, all powerful and all knowing, that loved me, protected me, and promoted me more than my mom, I started to shift the paradigm to not, I want to be honest, I should be more honest, stop overselling, lying, manipulating, and cheating others, but instead, I am. What am I doing to interfere with my integrity? And how was fear and ignorance playing a role in my reaction to the ignorance and arrogance and the fear that I had of being truthful with not other people, but myself? You see, once you take inventory of who you are and are honest with ourselves, it's very easy to be honest with other people and to be vulnerable and to illuminate the truth. It is an incredible thing, integrity. And I believe it takes wisdom and faith in order to live to your potential or to your integrity.
Yes, you're reminding me of, I think it was Walt Whitman that said, above all else, be true to thine own self.
And Shakespeare as well, right? To thine own self, be true.
Yes. Well, there you go. So when thinking about integrity and leadership, you've got to lead people, whether they're employees or contractors, whether they're athletes. How do you see your role or the role of integrity with the application of leadership and getting others to follow when you think that through?
You know, for me, it's twofold. One, walking with integrity yourself. And so understanding each day, what is it I want? Who can I help and who can help me? And how best can I get that done within the context of the truth and prioritize accordingly? To be of service of others and to ask for help. And then the second one is to be an intelligent follower. A lot of people, when they look within the context of leadership, they think that leadership is through intimidation or motivation or inspiration. I believe it's through education. And so instead of speaking to people, we speak through them by listening for what they need and aligning what they need with what we and our capabilities and other people's capabilities within our neighborhood, our frequency, our community that can help them. So I spend the majority of my time as a leader, not only a leader of my companies, but a leader in my community, leader in my charity, and a leader in my own family by being an intelligent follower, by being more interested than interesting. Understanding where they are at today, trying to align where they're at today with where and how they want to become. And I have found that through being an intelligent follower and understanding how I could be of service or value to them and how they could be of service or value to me has created an acceleration of where they want to be and collectively where we want to be. as a true leader should be.
Yes, you're reminding me, we had on the show the CEO from Orangewood Foundation, the nonprofit here helping at-risk teens. And Chris, when we were talking about leadership, he first jumped right in. He said, my leadership style is through service and servitude to those that follow. And you're reminding me of that, is how do you caretake that flock and how do you shepherd them along? And while you're leading, you're actually behind encouraging.
Absolutely. What a beautiful sentiment. And I agree full-heartedly. As the weather starts to cool down, I'm really excited about everything this season brings. New opportunities, fresh goals, and yes, even the wardrobe change. I love the feeling of shifting gears as fall kicks in, whether it's in business or life. So as we all make the transition, I hope you're as excited as I am to embrace the season with a new perspective and maybe a few wardrobe upgrades from Quince. Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices, along with premium fabrics and finishes. And they partner with them directly, cutting out the cost of the middleman and passing the savings on to you. I recently picked up their Mongolian cashmere crew neck sweater and an incredible performance chino pants, and they've quickly become go-to staples for me as someone who's constantly traveling for speaking engagements or business meetings. I need clothes that not only look great, but also feel amazing. And these pieces absolutely deliver. Upgrade your wardrobe with pieces made to last with Quince. Go to quince.com/playbook for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's Quince, quince.com/playbook to get free shipping and a 365-day returns. quince.com/playbook. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Hey, everyone. I want to take a moment to talk about gratitude. In our fast-paced lives, we often forget to appreciate the people around us. And sometimes we even forget to appreciate ourselves. So today, let's pause and give thanks not only to others, but also to ourselves for the hard work we put in every day. It's so important to recognize that doing our best, especially in challenging times, is an accomplishment. Now, have you ever thought about starting therapy, or if you're looking for a new perspective, consider giving BetterHelp a try. Therapy offers tools to build resilience, set boundaries, and grow into the best version of yourself. And with BetterHelp, everything is designed to be convenient and flexible, fully online to fit right into your schedule. Let the gratitude flow with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/playbook today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp. HELP.com/playbook.
David, there's times, you know, every one of our guests has had a time where they saw, not necessarily themselves lacking the integrity, but they saw the lack of integrity in some interaction, whether it was business or personal. Chances are it's more in business, where the counterparty or parties were not adhering to good principles of integrity. Is there something that comes to mind that you tell our audience about that might give them a little insight as to what to be aware of on Absolutely. The opposite side of integrity?
I don't like to talk about others, so I'm going to be completely vulnerable and honest about myself. I surrounded myself with the wrong people and the wrong ideas. But 2 years before I lost everything, I was in a place where I hated my mom, I hated my dad, I hated my best friend, and now I hated my wife because they all were telling me the truth. They were the only ones that were telling me the truth. They told me I was lost. They told me they were worried about me. I wasn't paying attention to my health, my family, and my own job. They told me I wasn't living in integrity. And my response to all of them was, I hate you. How dare you talk to me? It resulted in a moment where I came home at 5:30 in the morning in an altered state of mind. I was using alcohol and drugs at the time, surrounding myself with the wrong people. And I walked into my home in Rancho Santa Fe, and there was my wife waiting for me to tell me she was leaving. She told me that she could not stand with me to watch me die. She told me to take stock in who I was and what I wanted to become, or else I would end up dead. And I went to bed that night full of hate, like I told you, thinking about how dare these people who are closest to me, how dare them say these things about, look around them, who do you think did all of this? I remember telling myself. And I went to bed hating. I woke up in the morning and I was thinking to myself, how can I take their happiness? How can I take their money? How can I take my mom's house and my house and their money and all that I've given them? And I looked over in the closet and my dad had 6 years earlier given me a jacket for my 30th birthday. This was the time I told my dad I was nothing like him because he gave me a jacket that had no pockets. And I got angry with him for giving me this 30th birthday gift because he said, I'm giving you this jacket because you're just like me. You think money buys you love and happiness. You think it's going to solve all problems. Son, I don't want you to make the same mistake that I made in my life. Hang this jacket in your closet to remind yourself that you can't take anything with you. I told him I hated him. I told him he was a liar, a cheater, a manipulator, an overseller, a back-end seller, and I was nothing like him. And I hung up the phone. And there I was on the edge of my bed, looking into my closet, hadn't seen that jacket in years. And this is when God came through me. And as I looked at that jacket, I said to myself, I don't hate my dad. I certainly don't hate my mom. I don't hate my best friend. And I definitely don't hate my wife. I hate myself. I was a liar, a cheater, a manipulator, an overseller, and a back-end seller. And I needed to take stock in who I was and what I wanted to become. And so I begged my wife to stay with me. And I'm blessed to say that we've been married 27 years and now have 4 children. She stayed with me. And the greatest blessing, my wife, for people out there listening, when we are dealing to heal the people we love the most, is she didn't give me an ultimatum. When I begged her to stay and I told her I would change, she said to me, as long as I see you're trying, I will stay with you. She didn't say, if you ever drink again, I'm going to leave you. If you ever lie to me again, I'm going to leave you. She didn't give me an ultimatum that she knew I couldn't achieve instantly. But she also knew that if I put my intention into it, if I tried my best and learned lessons, that eventually I would heal. And I'm so grateful, as you know, not only for my mom, but my dad and my best friend, but certainly my wife, who had the courage to tell me the truth. Talk about the power of integrity. If I didn't have people who truly love me, because I surrounded myself with people that didn't, and they didn't tell me the truth. They were more interested in what I could do for them than how we together could be better. And it was the power of integrity that saved my life and allowed me to be prepared for when I lost everything and prepared me on my journey today to live to my potential, where I'm able not only to create abundance of more than enough money to help more than enough people and have this amazing, joyous, and joyous journey that I'm on today.
You know, David, we don't know each other yet, right?
Yeah.
Never met. And in full disclosure to this audience, I have to say what an honest and raw admission that you have just laid out for this group. What a powerful is the word for you to just put your whole heart on the line and lay it out there in truth. I couldn't be more blessed than to have that kind of conversation with you, with a new friend, for lack
neighbor.
Of better,
just You're a neighbor. New friend,
right? Strangers are just friends we haven't met yet.
Beautiful.
It's interesting. Yeah. So in our last few minutes, a couple things I'm thinking about. an example where in business where you applied integrity, maybe it got challenged and it was a little difficult, maybe a little bit gnarly to be able to stick to your guns on integrity when challenged. Is there something that comes to mind you might share with our audience?
Yeah, I have a really fun story. When I ran Lee Steinberg Sports and Entertainment, one of the first things I got to do was the sale of the Rams with George Frontieri, the owner of the Rams at the time, to Kroenke. Well, we were representing Franklin Financial, who is putting up $900 million into that deal. Lee, who has a disease called alcoholism, was not available to help. And it was one of the bigger deals that I had early on in my career in sports, and I had sought help from Warren Moon, from Jeff Morad, who had bought into the Padres and had some great, was a partner with Lee before me. I'd taken his job at Lee Steinberg, and I called Lee to ask for his advice. The one thing that Lee had beyond his disease is he's a genius, but he's also extremely honest. And I said, Lee, I don't know what I'm doing. I called everyone. I don't want to blow this deal, this opportunity, but I'm not capable of doing it. I don't have this type of experience. Who can else can I call? And he said, David, he said, your integrity is all you need. And I said, well, I'll do my best that I can, but what does that mean? He said, very simply, one, don't negotiate to the last penny. That's not honest. Always be fair. That is honest. And don't do business with dicks. And I'm not talking about sporting goods.
I understand.
That lesson of integrity to go into that deal and have such a simple way to think about every complex tax and negotiation and over $1 billion and you know all the things that we had to deal with, to think that in my mind all I asked in myself was, okay, am I being fair? Am I negotiating in abundance? And am I making sure that our values are aligned, that I'm not going to do business with people that are lying, cheating, manipulating, and overselling? And sure enough, it worked out in the end. But there's a lot of opportunities to help heal people and to teach them. You're made by the people you say no to. I'll repeat that. When it comes to the power of integrity, you're made by the people you say no to, not yes.
What a way to wrap up, and it'd be a wonderful summation for our audience. David, can you tell folks, there's plenty of folks listening, I am sure, that want to get in touch with you. How would they get in touch with you? Maybe they want to help with your nonprofit and your charitable missions, or they want to, there's some other common ground. What's the best way for our audience to get in touch with you?
Well, I'd love to offer everyone in your community my book for free. I'll sign it, send it to you, pay for shipping and the book. So just email me for that, or to come to our free Friday trainings. I've been doing those for 25 years, and meetups and VIP dinners. We're doing one in Orange County, right by the airport, on Main Street there, on the 16th. So we're going to invite you as well, but just email me. I answer them myself, David@dmeltzer.com. That's David at, my first initial D is in David, Meltzer, like seltzer with an M.com. David@dmeltzer.com. Reach out. Let me know how I could be of service or value to you.
David, wonderful. It's been not only insightful, it has actually been inspiring to hear your journey and your story. A lot of folks are going to be benefited by that. And I really appreciate your honesty and being completely raw and rare. It is rare out there for someone to be that honest in an environment like this. But that's the kind of man you are and have become. And kudos to you.
Well, we'll be close friends.
All right.
Invitations, not obligations. Thank you.